That's my quarter. You're at home, but that's my quarter.
For those of you that did not see that, there was a quarter laying right there, and Gary was telling me, "You're at home, but that's my quarter." Brother Gary, your pastor, is a wonderful brother in the ministry and in Christian fellowship to me. And I think that when we first met, that the two of us were somewhat suspicious of each other. Not owing to anything we saw in each other, but where we happened to run into each other in the first place. I have two or three texts on my mind. And Brother Gary and I met.
Don't leave that
right. Yeah, it sounded like we might have been but we were at a church. But we weren't exactly in fellowship, and I come from one direction, he came from another, and was struck by his preaching, the sincerity of it, and the place where we happened to be wasn't necessarily noted for sincerity of adherence to the gospel. And my sister and my wife were with me, and I don't think any of our children were there, and Brother Gary and Sharon were there, and that was our first meeting. We've been acquainted for 30-some years now, and I've enjoyed that acquaintance. And I've enjoyed coming here, and I remember that every time that I come to the pulpit here, that there are many that have gone that used to be here in days past.
Amen. And
the same is true when your pastor comes to visit us. And he preached so ably for us on Saturday of our communion meeting, third Sunday in June, Saturday and the third Sunday in June, and we rejoice in it and thankful for every time he can come. We have a glitch in our plans this morning. I'm not quite as capable as I once was, and my wife has a pretty strong hand. She tells me how to take care of things, and I obey. Other times when I have others of the family with me, they tell me what to do, or they just watch it after me and I don't obey. So I do miss my good wife. And I will say this, that the last go around with the doctor is that her platelet count had jumped 8,000. That's not very much if it's normal, but when it's near critical and it goes up 8,000, that's a good report. That's a good thing.
Good.
She's improved a lot and improves more and more. So as we think about the natural blessings of God and just those things that God has provided us here in this world, and as we go forward, I'm thankful for my wife, my children, grandchildren, my good friends, the blessed fellowship that we have. But if we were to come with any other chief interest than the Lord Jesus Christ, we're amiss.
Amen. It's true.
I do not love you more than I love him.
Right.
And as much as my wife means to me, I cannot love her the way I love the Lord. But there is no hindrance.
Exactly.
In all of the love that I have for you and for my brethren and for my wife and my children, and in loving the Lord too.
Right. Amen.
Because the more I can love him,
amen,
the more I can truly love.
Right.
Those with whom I rub shoulders every day.
Amen.
And that is a test of our fidelity to God. and his son Jesus Christ. I have two or three different places I would like to read to you this morning. I'm going to give you a piece of my experience. And I'm going to go to that portion of text and read it first. And I don't know that that should be the right order. But we hope that we can put some kind of order to it. And I'd like for you to look at the 15th chapter of the book of John. And I will tell you that, like many young preachers, I always knew this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And when we think about that, I thought I pretty much understood that in some superficial way. Happened to be in South Georgia years ago. It was an old man come walking out from the steps up to the pulpit, and he had come in from behind, as far as I knew. And I think the polyester age had faded away, but not with him, because that's the last clothes he had.
Right.
And you could tell that his clothes hung a little loose on him because he had just gone downhill. He was walking on a cane. And he took this text: I am the true vine. For the next 40 minutes, I had one of the experiences of a lifetime of listening to a dusty old man preach the gospel of the true vine of Jesus Christ. It was marvelous. And for that reason, every time I read this text, I remember his sermon. And I do not take this text because I don't want to preach his sermon. But there are things in it that we can use to illustrate many things, whether my mind is particularly led to use this as a text. But we need to think about grape culture this morning. And he says, and this is the Lord speaking, I am the true vine. We also know that I am the vine and ye are the branches.
Yeah.
And he speaks something that is very specific. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. When we think about branches in the Lord, there is only one way that any person ever came to be a branch in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will always be a part of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There isn't I'll use this portion, or this thought, is that we've been joined to him. And there's no man, no action that could ever put that asunder.
Right.
And we have the Lord's promise for that.
Amen.
Is that they will never perish.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
But when we think about the things that confront us here in this world, that as a church, there are often times that we find that God purges us in order that we bring forth more fruit. And if you understand what it means when you start talking about purging, the number one thing that you would do to a fruit tree is you prune it. Wild growth is not productive.
Right.
That old gentleman that was teaching about I am the true vine, I began to speak about the literal grape culture. And we had grapevines at home. And in fact, we had grapevines that just grew everywhere. But we had all kinds of grapes too. And some weren't very good. I didn't have any idea why some grapes were good and some weren't.
Right.
Because the minute a grapevine grows up and grows down and touches the ground and roots in something else, it's not the same grape anymore when it comes forth. It doesn't have the same natural vine, not the same true grape. And when that old brother was speaking about that, and I began to think about the things that God has instructed us. And if we look at the fifth chapter of the book of Isaiah, and I have these marked that I might read them to you. This is speaking of the days to come, speaking of Israel, and Isaiah the prophet writes, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes." Choice vine brought forth wild grapes.
Yeah.
The tower was built. The winepress was there. There was an expectation that it would bring forth choice grapes. And it says, "Now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard than I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it." That's severe.
Amen.
Very severe. And we know that the Lord is speaking of people. This is my vine. This is Israel. A choice vine. We are choice. We speak about election a lot of times. That's choice.
Amen.
We're a chosen vine. We're a chosen people. We're a peculiar people. Not because I act peculiar, okay? It's not about acting peculiar. Old Baptists act peculiar. But they're peculiar in the sense that they are particular persons.
Amen. Amen.
There are a lot of folks in the world today that believe that if you could get them to understand election in the first place, that God just chose a number. And just whoever got in that group, or however many was in that, that's how he did that. No, that's not how God did that. He knows them by name.
Amen.
One of the most marvelous things as a little child that I understood, okay, is that my family has a reasoning for how every one of our my mother had a reasoning for how every one of her children come to be named. I know the whole story about how Stanley Lee Cadle became who he is. I mean, how he got that name, okay? But do you realize that that might fascinate a child? But I know that my God knows me by that name.
Amen.
And he knows us, not as a number,
right,
not as a quote-unquote certain being,
right,
but he knows us as a particular person.
Amen.
God's salvation is particular.
Yes,
his calling is particular. There is a gospel call that we preach from the pulpits every Sunday, and that is to whosoever will.
Amen.
But I am telling you that there is a calling of God that is effectual always, that does not always provide the obedience that the person called should obey. But the person is called and awakened.
Right. Amen.
Men can never hinder that.
Amen.
The gospel doesn't do that.
No.
That is a call that God does himself to the Holy Spirit that awakens the dead sinner.
Amen.
The dead sinner may not know a word of the gospel.
Right.
But when he hears the gospel, the gospel is the explanation of what that person knows has happened to them.
Amen.
And when we consider that this choice vine, and we come to the book of Colossians, and the Apostle Paul is writing in Colossians 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted,
amen,
and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We could go forward, but the gist that we would like to understand is that Paul says, rooted and grounded in him.
Amen.
You know that vine that was planted, the choice vine in Isaiah 5? I want to tell you who that is. That is Israel of old.
Right.
And it was planted a holy right vine. We look to the scriptures and it says, to look to the hole of the pit from which you were digged, from Abraham, from Sarah. We understand Abraham. We understand the patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are the chosen of God. This is the family of God. This is the called family of God, in whom Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when we consider that Jacob, he named Israel, that's whence the name came. And out of him were many. These are the chosen of God. But if you look at it, and you consider this, if you look in the 16th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, you find that the Lord chose this person. There's this little babe that in the 16th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, he said that in the day that thou was born,
right,
no, I pitied thee.
Right.
Israel was not pitied by anyone.
Amen.
They were not loved by anyone.
Right.
They were not, as we would say, they were not noted for anything other than one thing. And you know what that one note was? That God loved them.
Right.
And God chose them. In the 7th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, 7th verse, you know what it says? Why did God choose Israel? You're not the greatest. In fact, you're the least. But I didn't choose you because you're the least either.
No.
You know, sometimes we look at the minority, or sometimes we look at the small one, or the small in a group, or we look at some small group, and we kind of have an underdog mentality that we'll say, well, you know, we kind of like them. Okay, they're struggling. Okay, we'll We'll give them the benefit. That's not why God chose Israel.
Not
one. There wasn't anything. He said, none I pitied thee. There wasn't anything good about you. But I chose you for one reason.
Yeah.
I loved you.
Amen.
Isn't that a marvelous thing? I mean, he's describing who Israel is. And can you see yourself in this? He said, in the day you were born, no eye pitied thee.
Right.
You weren't salted at all. You weren't swaddled at all. Nobody took care of you. And we just cast out in the open field to the loathing of thyself.
Right.
There are people who just didn't want anything to do with Israel. Can you tell me why anyone would have anything to do with who we are when we should be walking through this life saying unclean, unclean, unclean all of the time?
Amen.
But he says, when I pass thee by.
Right.
Wonder why? So when I pass thee by, just because the Lord's out wandering around? Do you think the Lord was just wandering around when he must needs go by Samaria because there was a woman over there he needed to talk to? It was on purpose.
Amen.
Do you think when Boaz, as a type of Christ, said to his workers about little Ruth gleaning out in the field, drop some handfuls of purpose? You see, there's always something that a person might happen upon in the field. But when the workmen of God are dropping handfuls of purpose because the good man Boaz or the good man the Lord Jesus Christ would command some handfuls be dropped. He said, but when I pass thee by, none I had pitied thee. But when I pass thee by, it was a time of love, I cast my skirt over thee, and thou becamest mine. God claimed him.
Amen.
Claimed them in their polluted state. You know, there are a lot of people in the world today that if you can get them to swallow election, predestination, if you can get them to swallow salvation by grace, do you know they'll think, well, you know, that God gets you all straightened up and gives you grace and you clean yourself up and then you're acceptable unto God. That's not true. He gives you grace to do that. He gives you grace to make changes and amends in your life. He changes hearts. He changes minds. But I can tell you this very thing, is that what God gives you is that he loved you before you ever did any of those things in yourself.
Amen.
He loved you when you are polluted. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen.
When we were yet without strength, in due time, he died for us. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that's teaching and preaching today that if you just get yourself ready, then there is something that God will see in you. Listen, the true gospel doesn't teach that. The true gospel teaches that when God awakens your heart, is that he has already loved you and he's already given his son for you.
Amen.
But these Israelites, when they, in the midst of where they were, began to see and began to practice the idolatry among the folks where they lived. Do you know the story about Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you know about the one Lot that his nephew, I guess it was, if I'm saying, he was the nephew of Abraham, right?
Right.
Okay, and one looked out over the plains of Jericho.
Sure.
Okay, it was nice, easy.
Yeah.
And he chose that. And Abraham gave him the choice. You choose first. And here he was looking for the easy way, and he chose the easy way.
Right.
And Abraham went to the other hand, to a rougher place. We all remember what happened with Lot. In that easy way, in that way where the world walks, he lost his grounding. He wasn't rooted and grounding in that that would keep him. Quite literally in Paul's admonition to us, he's saying rooted and grounded in Christ. We could look at Lot and say that he had the heritage. He had that Abraham had. But he made a choice to go in the well-watered, easy plain. There are people today that God has called out of nature's darkness that have chosen rather than to suffer the afflictions of Christ, but they've chosen an easy way. I can remember being a 20-year-old. I just struggled in my early days, college. There was something in my heart that I knew was there that my dad, the Hardshell Baptist preacher, didn't put in there.
That's right.
There were things in there that nobody ever, no man put in there. But here I am, okay? I'm living, just want to be like any other 19, 20-year-old. I spent the next several years just trying to beat down all of the things. I could get 500 miles away from home. God knew exactly where I was. He'd find me every time. And you know what? The running person, the one that's running from the Lord, I can tell you where the storm's going to break, right wherever he runs to. That's where it's going to happen. Where did the storm happen with Jonah? Right where Jonah was. Okay? I used to ask myself, like, how'd you get in this mess? Well, it's not a long story. It's not difficult to understand. We need to be rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have one foot in the camp of the world and one foot in the church, one foot in Christ, one foot in the things of this world, and we bring forth what? Corrupt fruit. Just like those grapes that need to be rooted and grounded in Him. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Without me, Scripture says, without me you can do nothing.
Amen.
It didn't say you could do a little bit of things. It says you can't do anything. Because we're talking about this mixed kind of works that does not glorify God whatsoever. When we go through life, you know, everybody has told me for many, many years that, you know, like I'd eat a balanced diet. Do you know what a balanced diet is to me? It's cake in both hands. Okay, you see that? Sometimes people say, well, you ought to have a balanced life. You have so much social stuff, you have so much this. Now listen, I'm telling you, for the Christian, you know what balance is? It's Christ in this hand, it's Christ in this hand, it's Christ before you, and it's walking in His footsteps.
Amen.
Rooted and grounded in
Him.
Amen. All right. When we are rooted and grounded in Him, the fruit we bear is true worship and glorification,
Amen.
Glory to God. You know, sometimes when we think about where we've been, listen. You know how the Apostle Paul said, I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm a citizen as far as Rome is concerned. But I am of the tribe of Benjamin. I mean, he was wholly a right Hebrew. Not one of the lesser sons, not one of the surrogate sons, but he was the son of the true wife. Well, I can tell you something. My dad was a Hardshell Baptist preacher. My grandfather was a Hardshell Baptist preacher. There's more Cadle Hardshells in West Virginia than maybe there is anyone else except for the Lilies, and we're all related to them too. But do you know what that accounts for? I can't stand on that tradition and walk in Christ.
Nope.
It's not about what my grandmama did or my dad did. I love them. I revere them, and they taught me, And that was part of the traditions that warmed my heart and carried me along in dark and dreary days. But I need, and you need, and God's church needs, and each and every one of us need to come to the grips with, where do I stand today?
Amen.
And having stood there at one point, or having had stood there yesterday, does not mean that I am actually doing that today. That we should have Him before our eyes.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
Rooted
and grounded.
Had a young fella that I worked with once. He and I were different persuasions as far as our religion was concerned. And he wrote me an article about being grounded. Talking about how he grounded his sons. And he said he wished somebody could ground him to make him stay with the Lord instead of getting out and buying forbidden paths. You understand what it means to be grounded? It's like rooted down, held here. We should be rooted in Christ, held here, where He is. And where is He? You know, a lot of people think that, well, I need some grand, glorious experience somewhere in some other place. They seek enlightenment. I'll tell you where you'll find enlightenment. You'll find it in the Lord.
Amen.
That every good and perfect gift, where does it come? Comes down from the Father of lights.
Amen.
In whom there is no what?
Variableness.
Nor shadow of eternity. There have been things that I have followed after in my life and in youth, and yet to this day, that we would think that age and experience would have brought us to a much higher level. But it is, there is this nature in us that warreth against the inward man. And sometimes it is so constant. Sometimes it is so warlike, and it is captivating, and to the point we almost sometimes forget that we have a battle to fight.
Right.
If we're really rooted in Christ and we're really abiding in Him, we have to understand that there are forces that want to take us out of Him.
Amen.
And those forces are not always the kind of forces that we think that might set about to destroy men. But it's just the nature of this world that there are forces, okay? We have been so caught up with vacations, trips, travel, all of these things. It'd take me a week to go through all of the plans that have been made for the month of July. I have to write them down. You can get carried away with that. None of that is inherently bad, but you know what it'll make you do? It'll make you forget the real reason you made the plans to start with.
Yeah.
Dotting I's and crossing T's. My granddaughter is getting married in next Memorial Day. Dotting I's and crossing T's. Getting all of the plans done. Well, all of those are wonderful things. If you want a wedding to come off, you're going to have to do some planning, right? But I'm going to tell you this, that if you want a life that is rooted and grounded in Christ, you need to make some plans, and you need to be hitting your marks, and you need to be dotting your I's and crossing your T's. We need to abide in Him.
Amen.
I am the true vine, and ye are the branches. And every branch in me that bringeth forth not fruit, what does He do? He purgeth it. It's cut off. Men gather them and cast them into the fire. I am telling you, there are branches that are in the Lord. There are branches that are holy of a right vine, but they get caught up in the things of this world. They get cut off. And men gather them and do despiteful things with them. But that does not mean that that is the end of that character. But it is the end of that character's joy in the kingdom of Almighty God.
Amen.
Walking in Him.
Amen.
When we think about much that has been said about sovereign grace, much that has been said about that, well, you can't, once saved, always saved. Once blessed, always blessed. I will tell you that that is true in the sense that having been saved, having been a branch in the Lord Jesus Christ, that does not mean that we have the privilege of everlasting tranquility. Peace. I try to remember every day, Lord, give me peace and give me strength to work that which leads to peace. What leads to my peace, Brother Gary, and yours? Doing the right things.
Amen.
You know, we have problems in this world. We could set aside and look at a dozen different things in the morning, like this morning. And nothing bothers me worse than being late. Nothing bothers me worse. I could just vent and vent and vent and vent. Do you all do that? Do you just kind of wear yourself out on it? You know, it's like stubbing your toe one time and then you do it 78 times just so you can get over the frustrations of it. Do you know what? You're just rehearsing the same thing that made you miserable.
Right. Exactly.
It doesn't help.
Nope.
What helps? Calm, abiding, understanding, keeping. Lord, give us patience.
Amen.
Patience comes by what?
Tribulations.
Tribulation. And when we have that kind of patience, it's come at a price. And when we think about following after the Lord, when the Lord looked at Israel and said, well, it brought forth wild grapes. You see, it was grounded part in the Lord and part in the things of this world. We think about the parable of I am the vine and ye are the branches. That once that vine comes in contact with the ground, it's rooted in a different place than the choice place. And then all of the elements that can change the nature of grapes changes the very nature of the grape. Changes the very product of the grape, we might say. The tower that was in the vineyard that was to have been for the sweet wine, there's no good thing for the wild grape. If you've ever eaten wild grapes, folks down home in the mountains make a lot of jelly out of wild grapes. The one thing you better have for most of it is a lot of sugar, because they're not too good. They don't create much sugar on their own. If we don't abide in the vine, there's not much sweet fruit that we render unto the Lord. And if we're not rooted in Him, and we're not grounded in Him, every wind, every wave, every trouble, every disturbance shifts us from place to place. And we're like a ship that's caught in a storm. And that's how our life runs, in a stormy vein. But if we're rooted and grounded in Him, He's saying, peace, be still. I and the vine in me, what a great peace it is when we have that we cling to, that holds on to us. Help us, Lord, that we might abide in Thy Word, and that He would abide with us. May God bless you.
Amen.